Thou my great Father, I thy true Son, thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Riches I need not, nor man's empty praise, thou my inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart, high King of heaven, my treasure thou art.
Thank you for that one. Lovely. Do you have any other requests this afternoon? Yes, sister? In Christ alone? Excellent. That's not in the book, is it? No. How many verses is there in Christ alone? Okay, we'll do 3 verses. Thank you. Okay.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to till on that cross, when Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ.
Wonderful. Any other requests? Yes? What's that one? "43 in the Wilds, How Can I Fear?" Lovely. Thank you. Is there 3 verses in that one, isn't there? 3, thank you. We'll do all 3 verses, thank you.
When shadows fall and the night covers all, there are things that my eyes cannot see. I'll never fear, for the Savior is near. My Lord abides with me. How can I fear? Jesus is near. He ever watches over me. Worries or sins, he gives me peace. How can I fear with Jesus? When I'm alone, and I face the unknown, and I fear what the future may be, I can depend on the strength of my friend. He walks along with me. How can I fear? Jesus is near. He ever watches over me. Worries all cease. He gives me peace. How can I fear with Jesus? Jesus is King. He controls everything. He is with me each night and each day. I trust my soul to the Savior's control. He drives all fear away. How can I fear? Jesus is near. He ever watches over me. Worries all cease, he gives me peace. How can I fear with Jesus?
Thank you. And do we have another request there? Yes, what would you like? 212 in the hymnal. Nothing but the blood. Wonderful. Well, we'll do this and we'll have time for one more after that.
Thanks, and we'll do three verses. Thank you.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other font I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other font I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nought of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other font I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Wonderful. Yes. Yes.
Jesus loves me.
What number is that? Do you remember offhand? How many verses are there in there? There are three, is there? Okay, we'll do all three verses and we'll follow that with this month's memory verse.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus. loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. He will stay close beside me all the way. Thou hast bled and died for me. I will henceforth live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Thank you for that one. And thank you, everyone, for your participation. That's wonderful. We'll now have the announcements. Oh, no, we're not. Sorry. We're going to do this month's memory verse, and then we'll follow that with the announcements. Thank you.
Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 19, verse 14. One more time. Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 19, verse 14. Thank you very much, everyone.
Just a few announcements. Just pray for the people who are normally not well. Pray for them in your prayers in the bulletin. But also pray also for Esther Moive, a young lady. She's got the virus today. Andrew at the back, his first boss when he was a carpenter, he passed away recently. Pray for the family there. Pray for my mum. She's got dementia problems. If anyone's considering want to help in the church, there's an opportunity there to help at the back with Andrew with the sound system, because sometimes he can't be here, he has to go away. So if you want to learn to know, so I'll see Andrew or the pastor about that. And also our prayer meetings we normally have on Tuesday nights, you may not have noticed it, but we've move the time from 7 o'clock to 6:30 in the evening. So it's half an hour earlier than what it used to be. It's in the bulletin, the new time, but I forgot to mention it this morning. And also, there's a lot of pomelos at the back there for those who want to use them, help themselves to them. Just go for a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for these requests that people have raised. Pray for those who are not well in the church, you undertake for them and strengthen them. Pray for families who have had loved ones passed away, that you will draw them close to you. And tonight, Lord, I pray that you be with our pastor as he brings forth your word, give him the right words and the courage to preach, and let your Holy Spirit work in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You turn in your Bible, please, to Job chapter 35. Wonderful to see you tonight. Hope you've enjoyed your Sunday. Job 35. Someone said before that you don't ask someone who's never had kids about parenting advice. You don't ask someone who is not has not gone through lots of trials or has lost maybe a close family member for advice, possibly on the death of a loved one. They don't know the experience. They don't know how it feels, and I realize we could always cop that out and say, well, Jesus didn't either. He didn't have a family like that, but. Here in Job chapter 35, we have a man giving Job advice who probably has never been through the things that Job has gone through. And yet he's giving very sharp advice to Job. Here in Job chapter 35, let's begin reading. Elihu spake moreover and said, Thinkest thou this to be right, that thou saidest, My righteousness is more than God's? For thou saidest, What advantage will it be unto thee, and what profit shall I have if I be cleansed from my sin? I will answer thee and thy companions with thee. Look into the heavens and see, and behold the clouds which are higher than thou. If thou sinnest, what doest thou against him? Or if thou transgressions be multiplied, what doest thou unto him? If thou be righteous, what givest thou him, or what receivest he of thine hand? The wicked may hurt a man as thou art, and thy righteousness may profit the son of man. By reason of the multitude of oppressions, they make the oppressed to cry. They cry out by reason of the arm of the mighty. But none saith, Where is God, my maker, who giveth songs in the night, who teacheth us more than the beast of the earth, and maketh us wiser than the fowl of the heaven? There they cry, but none giveth answer, because of the pride of evil men. Surely God will not hear vanity, neither will the Almighty regard it. Although thou sayest, Thou shalt not see him, yet judgment is before him. Therefore trust thou in him. But now, because it is not so, he hath visited in his anger, yet he knoweth it not in great extremity. Therefore doth Job open his mouth in vain. He multiplieth his words without knowledge. Job's three friends were very gracious to come and sit with him for a week and not to say anything and just to be with him. That's about the last good thing that we can say about Job's friends until the end. They were not compassionate. They thought they had Job figured out, though they all knew Job, that he was a righteous man. Tonight I want to talk about this theme about God giving songs in the night. And how many of us are up at 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Now, I know some of us are getting up at that time. But most of us sleep during the night. That is a normal thing. In fact, when God created the night, the light, he called the light darkness and night. And he said it was good. The day and the night were both good. There's a wonderful part of darkness that the Lord created, and it's good. But there's also those parts of night, of darkness, that are really hard. Sometimes we say of someone that's going through a lot of mental turmoil that they're in a dark place right now. That they just don't have it. They can't see their way forward. They just don't know what to do. Well, I'm so glad that God gives songs in the night. Now, Elihu here, he's saying that, Job, if you would only trust God, he would do this for you. He would be your strength. He would be what you need if you would just turn from your pride and your sin. God would surely welcome you back. In Job 35:10, he makes mention of those songs in the night. He makes mention of those songs in the night. And in all honesty, I reckon we're, most of us would rather not be singing all night. We would most likely be sleeping, rather be sleeping. There's another verse that I didn't bring in tonight, and in Proverbs 14, I think it's 11, where sometimes we don't have a song, sometimes our hearts are so burdened that it's hard for us to speak what's going on inside. We can't sing. It's just our hearts are that heavy. But a few times the Lord puts in His Scripture that there's songs in the night. In fact, in Psalm 42:8, where He says that my heart pants after God like nothing else. In Psalm 42, He says, yea, the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. Now, Lord willing, tonight, we're looking at one section of this verse. We're going to look at the night songs next Sunday night, Lord willing. So we're going to look at songs of the night tonight. Lord willing, next Sunday night, we're going to look at songs that we sing during the daytime. The songs that we sing during the daytime and the songs we sing during the night, sometimes they're very different. Sometimes they're very different. Sometimes our songs during the day may include tears. Lots of times at night when no one else is around, they include honest confession, honest talking with God. He says in Psalm 42:8, yea, the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime. So we're thankful for His love during the daytime. In the night, His song shall be with me. The fact of His presence, His faithfulness, the fact that He's there, that's what we sing. And my prayer unto the God of my life. Psalm 77:6. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. What do you sing when you wake up at night? Now, I must admit, that is a wonderful time for the Lord to get our attention about things, because nothing else is happening. It's also a sad time to worry, because we can worry the night away just as well. The psalmist says here that, you know what? He has that song in the night. Psalm 90, verse 2, well, 1 and 2. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praise unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, that's His love in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night. So the Lord is loving during the daytime. He's loving at night too, but it means more to us that He's there during the night. When we were kids, we used to watch, they would be G-rated these days. We used to watch some scary movies, like Dracula and Wolfman and Frankenstein and The Mummy. And how they ever caught you, I don't know, because they were just so silly. Well, me and my brothers, we would stay really close to, this is going way, way back. And I remember one time my brother, he got really, he was scared watching one of those old movies. And whenever my dad would leave the room, he would leave the room too. He would just so happen he would need to go out, and he'd just wait for dad wherever he was. And then when dad was ready to go back, he would come back in too. My dad actually did that on purpose, just to see if he would follow him. And why was it? Because he was scared of the movie, and the movie was taking place in the night. So we remember his faithfulness. Psalm 149:5, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. So when we are being kept up, let's sing aloud our praise to the Lord. Just a couple of things we'll mention tonight. First of all, darkness or night can be very scary and unsettling. Darkness can be very scary and unsettling. And by the way, in Jude, and we'll not go there tonight, but the Lord talks about how that those that are that'll be in hell, that they will experience the darkness of darkness, basically, forever. And so the darkness of darkness, and it describes, so the darkness, the Lord is trying to say, you know what, that darkness should get our attention. So what might you do at night when you were going through a difficult time? What might you do if you were going through a difficult time? So here we are. We're looking at the Jesus disciples, and we're going to see how they respond to an event in their lives that scared them. It says, and when evening was come, his disciples went down unto the sea, and it entered into a ship. So it's getting dark. It's pretty well dark now. And they went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So here they are. Jesus is not there. They don't see him anywhere. And there's a storm forming. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. Now, in some of the other accounts, it says that they all cried out, "It's a ghost, it's a ghost, it's a ghost." And Jesus cried out, and he said unto them, "Don't be afraid. It's me." Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Things are more scary at night. We can't see around us. We don't have our a good grasp of everything. We don't feel as safe, and they didn't. Psalm that we spent a lot of time in recently at the end of last year Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. There's places that the shepherd would lead his sheep that would be very dark, from going from one feeding place to the other feeding place. Some of those places were dark. They were scary. There were animals that would attack if the shepherd was not on top of things. And here it says in Psalm 23, you know, there's places that if we're not careful, we will fear. We'll give into our fear. In Exodus chapter 10, when the Lord was doing the different miracles to try to get Pharaoh's attention to let his people go, it says in verse 21 to 23, and Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. And it's really neat. The next verse says that it was a darkness that could be felt. It was a darkness that could be felt. We have, underneath our house, we have a spare bedroom. It's not actually a proper bedroom. But we go there when we need a good night's rest with no light. Has no windows. Turn off the light. It is absolutely pitch dark. Can you imagine how dark it was for the darkness to be felt? In fact, it says in there that they didn't go anywhere for 3 days. They all stayed at home. Now the Jews had light. But the fact that they had this great darkness, it so threw them off that they weren't going to move. In Exodus chapter 12, and the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt at night, the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. So darkness, midnight, was a time of judgment. You look at Exodus 14, and I didn't include this one, but Exodus 14, the Lord put darkness after he had led them out of Egypt, and the Egyptians were after them again. It says there in Exodus 14 that the Lord put darkness between his people and Pharaoh and his soldiers so that they couldn't find them all night. Matthew 27:45, and I know you know this, but now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. I just want to mention a couple of things. Can you imagine, what time was it for it to be the sixth hour? Was that 9 o'clock at night? It was probably noon. It was probably when we would think the sun, when it was shining, would be at its peak. And yet, when our Lord was on the cross, there was darkness over the land until the ninth hour. It tells us, really, that the Lord is in control of the darkness. That the difficulties, the problems that they oftentimes represent, that he's in control of those too. Now, we've been looking at different circumstances. Let's look at a circumstance where Paul and Silas were facing a dark time in their life. They had been serving the Lord and ministering to people. In Acts chapter 16, it says, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us. which brought her master much gain by soothsaying. So basically, she was a future teller. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her." And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gain was gone, isn't that sad? They didn't care about the woman at all. They caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the market and to the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes, so here you're getting the idea, Paul and Silas, they've been beaten now for helping this lady. They cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. It says, "Who, having received such a charge, thrust them in the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." Now, what would you do? You're fast in the stocks. You're in prison. You've really done nothing wrong besides help a lady who was demon-possessed, falsely accused. Verse 19 says, "And Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." How important was it that they prayed and they sang praises unto God? May I ask, and we'll get there in a little bit, but may I ask, when you're in a dark place, when you're in a hard place in your life, do those two things. Actually, the three things. First of all, they prayed, they praised, and then they were just waited on the Lord to move. They prayed and they praised the Lord. They waited on Him. They waited for Him to move. When we're going through difficult times, we need to pray, and then we need to praise God for who He is, even though we don't see it at the time. And then the dark times of life give opportunities for witness. The dark times of life give opportunities to witness. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now, it's an unusual time to pray, I must admit, at midnight. Most of us don't pray at midnight, pray and sing at midnight. Most of us are trying to sleep at that time. In fact, most of our neighbors would not appreciate us singing out loud at that time. It says, "And suddenly there was a great earthquake." The key part there was that the prisoners heard them. They heard them even though they had just been beaten. They're still singing. They're still trusting. They're still praising God. "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. The keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Remember Jim Berg giving this illustration about how Paul was an example in his hardships. He heard these couple of men singing, even though they were going through the hardest, most difficult time. Let me ask you, can you sing? Can you praise? Can you pray when you're going through the hardships? Paul and Silas did. He sprang in and said, "Lord," or "Guys, what do I need to be saved?" And don't think he was asking about his life at that point. He knew Paul and what they were about. He had heard them singing. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his house straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. We are lights sometimes. Sometimes the brightest light when we're going through our most difficult times. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. It's not that we glow within ourselves, we're showing others who Christ is. We're just reflecting the glory of Christ and who He is in our lives. So the first thing is the difficulties of night sometimes give us an opportunity to witness. Secondly, the dark times give us opportunities to experience God's faithfulness. They give us opportunities to experience God's faithfulness. Psalm 90 verse 2 says, "It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praise unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night." It's a good thing for us to speak of God's faithfulness in our lives. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says that God is faithful, by whom you were called unto fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:13, hopefully we've still got this one memorized. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." God is faithful. Then 2 Thessalonians 3:3, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and shall keep you from evil." Paul gives testimony in 2 Timothy chapter 4 about how that all men had forsaken him. All men had left him. Now some had jobs to do, but there were some that had forsaken him because they loved this present world, or they got distracted by things they shouldn't have got distracted on. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, he says, "All men forsook me, but the Lord stood by me." And that's one of the things that I want us to remember tonight, that our songs of the night, They really should remind us of God's faithfulness, that He is there, that He is present, and no matter how dark things get, He's in control of the darkness, and He is present with us there. Let's pray. Father, I thank You that we can, even in the very difficult times of life, trust You, know that You're faithful. Even in those times when we really are gobsmacked by circumstances, we ask that You would help us, that we would not be worried, that we would not lose hope when we can't see the path before us. Help us, Lord, not to fear, to grow angry, to lose faith when we don't understand what You're doing next. Remind us, Father, of Your faithfulness. Thank You for Your word that does remind us of Your faithfulness. Thank You for the fact that You've been faithful to Your people down through the ages. Hebrews 11 tells us all of these people that You were faithful to. And Father, help us to keep our eyes on You. And Lord, instead of worrying, instead of fearing, instead of being anxious or angry, taking it out on others or things, help us, Lord, to trust You and to know You're faithful. Use us as a witness, Lord, in this world. Even when we're going through dark times, help us to be a light. Thank You for Your faithfulness. Thank You that You are the God of the darkness too. It's in Your hands. We commit this night and our week to You. Heads bowed and eyes closed just for a minute. Let me ask you, are you in a dark place right now? Are you going through a dark situation? If so, may I ask you to trust Him? May I ask you to keep praying, to keep praising, keep your focus on Him? Father, I pray that You'd dismiss us now for Your glory. May You be seen in our lives. And thank You for Your faithfulness to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming tonight. Lord bless you heaps.